Right. In Class 3A, on the boys, it's Pella on top. Shenandoah Essex is at number 15. On the girls' side in 3A, Dubuque-Wallard is number 1 ranked, with Harlan number 10 and Shenandoah Essex number 15. In 2A, Monticello leads the boys' rankings. Unity, the top of the girls' rankings. In Class 1A, boys, St. Albert is number 1, with Guthrie Center 7th, Tri-Center 9th, and Nottoway Valley 13th. On the girls' side, it's Griswold number 1, with Tri-Center in the number 8 position. The individual rankings this week show a number of area runners. In Class 3A boys, Sean Skillern of Shenandoah Essex is ranked 13th, and Philip Soranko of Harlan is 28th. In Class 3A girls, Harlan's Jessica Feldman is 19th, Maria Mostick of Creston is 29th, while Megan Plambeck of Atlantic is ranked 30th this week. In Class 1A on the boys' side, Josh Sindelar of St. Albert is number 1 ranked, with Spencer Rokols of Adair Casey number 8, number 6. T.J. Bauer of Nottoway Valley is ranked 8th. Also among the rankings on the boys' side include Jake Weber of Bowyer Valley at number 17. Ian Patrick of Riverside is ranked 18th. Emmett Wheatley of Adair Casey is 20th. Ellis Johnson of Logan Magnolia is 22nd ranked. St. Albert's Gus Dahl is 25th. Eddie Halber of Guthrie Center, 27th. Adam Christensen of St. Albert, 28th. And Jordan Christensen of Guthrie Center is rated 29th this week. On the girls' side in 1A, Griswold's Rebecca Topham continues to be the number 1 ranked runner, with Corning's Tiffany Shepard ranked 8th. Tri-Center's Alex Larson is 12th. Jordan Sint of Griswold is rated 18th this week. Megan Deist of Audubon is 20th. And Teresa Frells of Guthrie Center is ranked in the number 21 spot in this week's poll. In football news, the Drake Bulldogs will play their second straight ranked FCS foe this weekend when they visit 22nd ranked Indiana State. The Bulldogs are coming off a near upset of Montana State on Saturday. The Bulldogs took a 24-21 lead into the fourth quarter before the Bobcats rallied for a 34-24 victory. Drake coach Chris Creighton says his team was not satisfied by just coming close.
We didn't want to play well really bad. We wanted to play well, and we thought that by playing well, we'd be good enough to win. And so, it was there were some good things that came out of the game last weekend. But disappointment is one of the things that we all felt really, really strongly.
He says the Bulldogs gave a great effort against Montana State. They'll need more of the same against the Sycamores, as it's a chance for the Bulldogs to prove themselves against an outstanding opponent. Creighton says it'll be a good test for the Bulldogs, who will face several tough road games during the Pioneer Football League race.
Playing on the road and knowing how to travel is obviously a necessity in our league. And so this will be, again, the first time for some, but not for many. Hopefully that this will be a good learning experience for those guys. So by the time we're heading out to Campbell and Jacksonville and Dayton, all that it'll be old hat.
Both those teams are 1-1 entering Saturday's action. Well, the reality hit Nebraska defensive coordinator John Papuchis while he watched his Charges run a step behind the UCLA Bruins and miss an alarming number of tackles. The Cornhuskers have a need for speed. Cornhuskers are 115th nationally in rushing defense. They rank 96th in total defense and 83rd in scoring defense after their 36-30 road loss to UCLA. They'll go against another spread offense when Arkansas State visits on Saturday. Papuchis' most pressing concerns are at linebacker and defensive line. Freshman David Santos and junior college transfer Zaire Anderson have been practicing with the number one defense this week, and one of them could bump weak-side linebacker Alonzo Whaley from the starting lineup. Whaley struggled with positioning and tackling against the Bruins, who amassed 653 yards of total offense. That's the second most ever by a Nebraska opponent. Notre Dame has picked a conference. Now they have to decide which football rivalry games to keep. The announcement Wednesday that Notre Dame is moving to the Atlantic Coast Conference in all sports, except football and hockey, came with a provision that the Fighting Irish play 5 football games a year against league opponents. Now, that's good news for fans who want to see the Irish play Miami more often, but it may not be welcomed by some traditional rivals. That deal calls for the Irish to play each ACC team once every 3 years, which means traditional games against Pittsburgh and Boston College will end. Irish Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick said Notre Dame will continue to play Navy, Southern California, and Stanford. One of the Big Ten rivals, Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue, who've been on the schedule for a very long time, well, Swarbrick wasn't ready to say quite yet. Well, Tamba Hali woke up Sunday morning, went for a walk, and then he settled in to watch the Kansas City Chiefs on television. He much prefers his regular routine, though. The Pro Bowl linebacker was on the practice field yesterday after serving a one-week suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Hali apologized for the transgression but refused to get into the details about what caused the NFL to discipline him. Hali said that he didn't have any problem with the suspension that was levied by the NFL, and he preferred to shift the focus back to the field and the Chiefs' game Sunday at Buffalo, where he'll try to bolster a pass rush that was virtually non-existent in a 40-24 loss to the Falcons last weekend. You can catch that Bills-Chiefs game live Sunday here on KJAN, kickoff set for noon. St. Louis Rams offensive tackle Roger Saffold had very limited duty in practice yesterday, 3 days after he was carted off the field with a significant neck injury that landed him in a Detroit hospital. Saffold appeared to have trouble moving his head while meeting with media after practice. He said his mobility has improved and the pain has subsided. Saffold didn't know when he'd be able to play again. Also in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars have claimed offensive tackle Troy Kropog off waivers from Tennessee to help fill some injury holes along their offensive line. Six-time Pro Bowl receiver Chad Johnson, who's now out of football, has been formally charged with one count of misdemeanor domestic battery. Johnson faces up to a year in county jail. He was arrested last month after his wife accused him of headbutting her during an argument in front of their home. He was later freed on $2,500 bond. JaVale McGee outside a Washington nightclub in January 2010, then coach Flip's Saunders suspended Blatch. Also in baseball action yesterday, Clayton Richard pitched seven strong innings, and rookie Yasmani Grandal singled home the go-ahead run to lift San Diego to a 3-2 win over the St. Louis Cardinals. That's their 11th loss in 15 games now for St. Louis. The Cards came in with a one-game lead over Los Angeles for the second National League wild card spot. Logan Forsythe hit a solo home run for the Padres, who completed a three-game sweep of St. Louis for the first time since August of 1995. Richard outpitched Kyle Loesch, who gave up only three hits, including a two-run homer by Matt Carpenter that tied the game at two in the sixth inning as the lefty struck out five. For Loesch, he allowed three runs on five hits over six innings and struck out eight in the loss. Elsewhere in the National League, Philadelphia beat Miami 3-1. Cincinnati topped Pittsburgh 2-1. Washington over New York 2-0. Chicago beat Houston 5-1. Milwaukee over Atlanta 8-2. San Francisco 8-3 over Colorado. And Arizona topped the LA Dodgers by a final of 3-2. In the American League, Billy Butler had three hits and three RBIs, and Kansas City's bullpen picked up struggling starter Luke Hoshaver with four scoreless innings and a victory over Minnesota. 10-5, Royals beat the Twins. Hoshaver won for the first time in eight starts but gave up five runs on six hits with four walks over five innings. Tim Collins pitched two innings before Kevin Herrera, and Francisly Bueno finished off the victory. Elsewhere in the American League, Baltimore beat Tampa Bay 3-2, Seattle over Toronto 3-2, New York over Boston 5-4, Texas beat Cleveland 5-2, Detroit outscored Chicago 8-6, Oakland over LA 4-1. Major League Baseball's 2013 preliminary schedule is out, and it includes several format changes caused by the shift of the Houston Astros to the American League, a National League franchise. For its first 51 seasons, the Astros start American League play on April 2nd when they host cross-state rival Texas. Houston moves from the National League Central to the American League West, creating six divisions of five teams each. Under a move announced last November, the Astros will become only the second team since 1900 to switch leagues, following Milwaukee's entry to the National League for the 1998 season. Because there will be 15 teams in each major league for the first time, that means interleague play is necessary nearly every day. On April 1st, the Cincinnati Reds will host the Los Angeles Angels in the first interleague game ever on an opening day. Andy Pettit thinks he's ready to help the struggling New York Yankees right now. Sidelined since his left ankle was broken by a line drive on June 27th against Cleveland, the 40-year-old left-hander threw another simulated game Wednesday at Fenway Park and said he can rejoin the rotation immediately. Pettit said he felt great and could give the team 60 to 65 pitches. Also in baseball news, Texas Rangers third baseman Adrian Beltre left Wednesday night's game against the Cleveland Indians with a strained left shoulder. In Pacific Coast League Championship Series play yesterday, Omaha squared their series with Reno at a game apiece as the Storm Chasers picked up a 9-6 victory. That series now shifts to Omaha for the final games. It's a best of five. It's tied at one game apiece. Game three is coming up on Friday night at Warner Park. A person familiar with the situation says the Connecticut men's basketball coach Jim Calhoun is retiring and plans to announce his decision today. The Hall of Fame coach led the UConn program from obscurity to three national championships, but has struggled recently with health issues, including a fractured hip last month. The 70-year-old Calhoun won 873 games in 40 years as a head coach, first at Northeastern and the last 26 at UConn. He guided four teams in the Final Four, and winning national titles in 1999, 2004, and 2011. The National Hockey League and the Players Association have swapped proposals in an effort to try to head off a lockout scheduled to start this weekend as the two sides met for 3 hours. The NHLPA, led by Executive Director Donald Fehr, made its presentation in the morning, but that was quickly dismissed by Commissioner Gary Bettman, who said it wasn't much different than earlier offers. Bettman then met with Boston Bruins owner Jeremy Jacobs and Murray Edwards of the Calgary Flames, and a new NHL offer was handed back to the Players Association, but it had a shelf life. Bettman says he made it clear that the league's proposal was intended to lead to a deal before the weekend. Bettman says if there's no agreement by the weekend, then the league's latest proposal is off the table. The NHL Board of Governors will convene today with Bettman while the union holds a second day of discussions with as many as 250 players. And in boxing news, Manny Pacquiao will return to the ring December 8th, almost surely in a fourth fight against Mexican rival Juan Manuel Marquez. This would be Pacquiao's first bout since he lost a hotly disputed decision to Timothy Bradley on June the 9th. And move over Rocky, make way for an actual fighter, Smokin' Joe. The mayor of Philadelphia kicked off a campaign to raise money for a statue of hometown boxing great Joe Frazier, a tribute he called Long Overdue. Joined by members of Frazier's family, Mayor Michael Nutter praised the one-time heavyweight champion as a fearless, determined fighter and a good human being who gave back to the community. Frazier died last year of liver cancer at the age of 67. That's Checkin' Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.